What's up, everybody? Trey Biddy with HogSports.com, HAWGSports.com. Well, the title of today's show is Arkansas winning the national championship in track and field. So congratulations to Doug Case and the men's track team. Won the indoor and the outdoor, won both conference championships as well. The first team since like 1982, I think UTEP, to do that. So big congratulations to the Arkansas men's track team and the women. The women finished third, respectable third place. So we'll talk about that a little bit more, but we're also going to talk basketball, of course, roster building with baseball, big recruiting weekend this past weekend, and commitment, and maybe some more on the way. We'll talk to Kevin Bohannon. We'll talk to Connor Goodson to get the latest on all that. All that and more on today's episode of Hog Sports Live. The Crane Automotive team knows stretching your dollar is important. With prices at the pump, interest rates, and everything else, we focus on making your life more affordable by offering vehicles with the highest rated fuel economy and safety features, plus a large selection of crossover and hybrid vehicles. We make it easy to get on the road with a vehicle that won't break the bank. We have a vehicle for every lifestyle and every budget. Come get one at one of our 17 statewide locations or visit craneteam.com today. Hog Sports Live is driven by the Crane Automotive team.
You've done it. Now you're the Crane Cash Champ. You just won big with the Crane team. Go ahead, soak it up. How could you not feel like a winner? You dominated with our low price guarantee, and you got way more for your trade. Plus, with statewide delivery on thousands of vehicles from 16 locations, and the fact that we'll beat any other dealer's price, we make our Kansans feel like champions every day. That's winning. That's the Crane team. Visit craneteam.com.
I was just looking online. There's 4,841 vehicles available right now at various Crane locations. Hey, today's also the last time you can get in on our 60% off offer at Hog Sports. Basically, you're going to save $84. It's a dollar a week. I don't know what you can get that like you can stay glued to and get all the information, Razorback news and discussion, interaction constantly with me and our team for a buck a week. A dollar a week. Pretty good deal. It breaks down to $56 for the entire year. Billed at $56 for the entire year. So that offer ends at 11 tonight. Tonight is Monday, June 15th. Is it June 15th? Yeah, June 15th, 2026. All right, so sign up at Hog Sports today if you haven't done so already. Again, congrats to Doug Case and the Arkansas track and field team. The first time since 1982, John Weddle, he's the first coach to win two conference championships and the indoor and outdoor. This is the 45th men's title. Arkansas has 54 overall. The women have won 9. And that doesn't include Arkansas's vacated titles from the outdoor in 2004 and 2005. Obviously, Arkansas dominated under John McDonnell. And won a couple under Bucknum, and now this guy, Case, has won 2 already in his first year. So pretty outstanding work for the men's track team. 54 national championships, including indoor, outdoor, and cross country, of course. 22 indoor championships, 11 outdoor, 11 cross country titles, all for the men. For the women, they have 5 indoor titles, 3 outdoor titles, and 1 cross-country title in 2019. Jelani Watkins, who is on the Arkansas football team, we have not gotten a look at him because he's been with the track team the whole time, but he got third place, won the bronze, with a wind-aided time in the 100-meter dash of 9.87 seconds. That's moving, even with the wind behind you. That's moving. He did not advance in the 200. He kind of pulled up. He didn't make the finals of the 200. He was 11th. They take 10 by 0.006 seconds. He kind of pulled up in his heat, and a guy passed him and ended up not making it, even though he was one of the favorites in that. So got to finish, but congratulations on the bronze and an outstanding 9.87. Danny West has got all the latest on the football visitors. This is the third weekend that Arkansas has had a good number of visitors. They actually got a commitment from John Caitlin IV, who's a cornerback. Let me bring up his information. 5'11", 167, out of Denton, Texas. Number 70 cornerback prospect in the country. Number 96 overall prospect in Texas. Chose the Hogs over Purdue, which he has a visit scheduled or had a visit scheduled for June 19th. BYU, Boston College, Iowa State, and some others. Several other schools. Several other smaller schools. So they picked up John Caitlin. Some other guys to watch coming up here. According to Danny. Ahmad Sykes, he visited. He's a running back. They already have one commitment already, obviously, with Dent committed. But he was one of the visitors. Kevin Grant, be a guy to keep an eye on, a cornerback out of Arlington, Texas. Going heavy on the defensive backfield. Jameer Cantrell, another guy to really keep an eye on. Jaden, I'm not even going to try to pronounce it, A-G-B-E-R-O-D-I-O-L-A, defensive lineman out of Rockvale, Tennessee. John Caitlin, of course, visited. Bradley Sturdivant visited, who's already committed. Shout out Sheridan Yellow Jackets. So, yeah, good number of visitors, and there's a good chance that you could see some more movement in terms of commitments coming out of this weekend's visitors. Right now, Elwin Joshua Banks is another guy to keep an eye on. He didn't visit this weekend, but another cornerback who's a four-star prospect could be deciding very soon. But keep an eye on Joshua Banks out of Humble, Texas, 6 foot 170, the number 28 ranked cornerback prospect in the country, number 236 overall prospect in the country. We mentioned Kevin Grant a little bit, keep an eye on. Jameer Cantrell, be another good guy to keep an eye on. Arkansas right now is at 16 commitments. That is removing Zay Huzzy. It just seems like things just kind of went a different direction there with those two parties. He was committed to Arkansas. But Arkansas is now 41st nationally with 16 commitments. Keith Richmond is a recent commitment. We talked about him on the last show. 6'2", 225 edge, a four-star commitment, the number 205 overall prospect in the country on 24/7 Sports. Jabari Watkins, who a wide receiver, another four-star, number 45 receiver prospect in the country. Jabari Watkins, Jelani Watkins, Jamari Hawkins, and is that it? Two Hawkins? I don't know. It's hard to keep up with. And they all play wide receiver. This is why sometimes I think we're in the Matrix. I think there's like a glitch or something in the Matrix sometimes. Maybe it's God. I don't know. Maybe he's just messing with us a little bit. But sometimes you just it's just kind of funny how things work out and you get like, you know, you don't ever – like, who's the last Jabari or Jelani Arkansas has had? Now, like, you have three guys with a similar name all at the same position. Odefe Aroru, also a four-star offensive lineman, and then Jeremiah Dent is a high-ranking three-star. But your top commitments right now, Keith Richmond, Jabari Watkins, and Odefe Aroru. Those are your top three commits. And more on the way. I mean, he says he's going to sign, like says he's going to sign a full class, so I would assume 25 or close to it. The 2026 U.S. Open starts Thursday, Shinnehock Hills Golf Club in Southampton, New York. This is the sixth time? See, this is the only U.S. Open that's ever been held in three different centuries, 1896, 1986, 1995, 2004. 2018. So this is the sixth, I guess. But yeah, that's coming up this weekend. All right. I think we got Cabo coming up here next. Should be hopping on here with us a second. Yep, I got him scheduled for 12:10. So Kevin Bohannon about to join us. Hey, you guys know how much I value longstanding relationships. Well, I've known Bo Biddle for 25 years. And when I needed car insurance, when I needed homeowners insurance, when I needed business insurance for Hog Sports, I called Biddle Armstrong. Bo, Rob Armstrong, and their team have over 100 years combined experience. They work with you just like Auto Owners Insurance works with them. Expect local support from somebody you know. Questions about your policy, call Biddle Armstrong direct rather than a 1-800 number. Auto Owners Insurance intended it that way so you don't have to wait on hold forever. Don't settle for a generic policy. Wherever you are in Northwest Arkansas, give Biddle Armstrong a call at 479-443-0808 or visit ba-ins.com. Auto Owners Insurance owns an AM Best rating, A+ superior. They trust people like Bo to work for you. Biddle Armstrong Insurance, coverage you need, people you trust. We also trust Kevin Bohannon to give us the latest scoop when it comes to transfer portal news. K-Bo, what's going on, brother?
Well, we're 2 weeks into the transfer portal, and that's for all the teams that ended their season prior to June 1st. Mm-hmm. And we've got four commitments. And I know a lot of the fans out there are getting really impatient and want to see some big names. Arkansas has had four portal commitments so far to go along with a couple of JUCO transfers. The first one, of course, was Ridge Harvey, the lefty out of Belmont. Then you had Dawson Price, the corner infielder out of Charlotte, was preseason player of the year last year in his conference. Was a little dinged up, still hit over 300. And then you had Zeb Allen, who's a top 35 commit overall. It's looking to play center field and hit leadoff for the Hogs next year. Mm-hmm. Then this past weekend, Braden Krenzel, if fans will remember that name, he pitched against Arkansas last year in the Super Regional. Mm-hmm. Texas or Tennessee came in, and Krenzel looked pretty good. Did not have a good season this year. He had the yips. He got a little wild, but he can throw 98, 99, and Matt Hobbs has done really good things with guys that have had problems before. So we'll see what Matt Hobbs can do with him. This is a risk-reward type deal. I bet they got him for little money, and it's a fresh start for him. He was a former top 100 prospect out of that class of 2025. So that gives Arkansas some depth in the bullpen if he does come here and live up to expectations. So had some players on campus this past weekend. We expected a couple of commitments that haven't happened yet. Haven't heard anything to the contrary. There's a pitcher from the Atlantic Sun Conference, Florida Gulf Coast, Chris Diaz, that's on campus today. So we should have two or three here in the next couple of days.
So who's in right now, K-Bo? And I guess you pretty much rounded that up. But I mean, like, how would you grade the way things are going right now? I mean, obviously there's a good bit of time left, but they have some spots to fill, and yeah, it feels like things are going a little bit slow.
Yeah, a C+, and that may be harsh, but there are other teams out there that have gotten a head start and gotten in on some guys. Kalen Dygert pitched against Arkansas. Arkansas really never went after him. He's going to go to Oklahoma. There's a couple other guys that are going to OU, LSU, Ole Miss. Trey Housie from Louisiana Tech, hard-hitting first baseman, hit 15 home runs at Louisiana Tech. He's going to Ole Miss. And not to say that Arkansas didn't make contact with these guys, but they just haven't got the home run. The highest rated is Zeb Allen. And I would tell everybody, and I think everybody would agree with this, if you got the number 33 transfer player out of the portal to start in the outfield next year and you left the school blank, you would be really excited about it. For some reason, people think just because he was at UCA, he's going to take a step back a little bit. Yes, it's going from mid-major to the SEC. So he's going to see his numbers take a step back, but he's a competitor. And like we say, you got to wait till the kid gets on the field to really make a strong argument for or against. They still don't have a frontline starting pitcher, considering you have to replace the entire weekend rotation once again. That's the thing that is concerning the most for me right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Kevin, I mean, I obviously don't have anywhere close to the baseball knowledge that you have, but I do know people behind the scenes and yes, people pulling the strings and stuff. And there's a concern out there that Arkansas may not be dealing with as much financially as some of their peers. I know from like a revenue sharing standpoint, Arkansas is probably not even $1 million, $750,000 or so, which is less than what they'd originally expected. And the thought was like Arkansas is going to have to do some work in the NIL space to make up for some stuff, where you've got schools like Mississippi State dealing with, you know, between $2 million, $2.5 million from revenue sharing alone. It makes it difficult to compete when you don't have the money. And Arkansas has great facilities and they have great fans and it's a great program. And DBH is a great coach. But sometimes when you're talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars difference on players who, you know, there's not million-dollar baseball players, really. Yeah. You know, there's guys getting maybe as much as $800,000 or so. But when you're talking – if you're talking like $1.2 million versus $1.4 million for a defensive end,
that's not bad.
You know, yeah. He's going to go to the school he wants to go to. If you're talking about $200,000 and $500,000 for a baseball player, he's going to go $500,000. $300,000 is a lot of money. So where are things right now just based on what you've heard? And that's stuff that I hear from, again, people behind the scenes that are pulling the strings. And I also know that, you know, when we were reporting on the football coaching search, Kevin, that, you know, I found out that Hunter was meeting with boosters, like having big meetings with boosters before football games and stuff. And one of the things that they talked about was the importance of supporting Dave Van Horn. And, you know, there was a fear that, you know, he signed with Jimmy Sexton. Like, what if he leaves? You know? So, and they were all in agreement, thankfully, that that is something that has to be supported. So, but I don't know that they figured it out or not from an NIL perspective. I guess we're going to find out with these last few spots.
Yeah, and the big thing that I want to make a point of emphasis right here is when it was just NIL, it was believed that Arkansas was top 10, top 12 in terms of who they could go out there and get. You really saw it. But then the revenue sharing portion came in, and obviously you reported on that back in the fall that they're expecting 1.5, they got 750. You know, those other sports outside of football and basketball were going to get between $600,000 and $800,000. Well, $750,000 versus $1.5 million is a lot of money. That can get three really good baseball players as opposed to, you know, in football, you may get a good middle linebacker or a middle linebacker that thinks he's going to be good and then falls off. I digress. Anyway, let's go back to last year for a second. Joey Volchko, 15 strikeouts, 4 hits, 1 run in the opening game of the College World Series against what they had against Texas the other night. Georgia won that game. He wanted to go to Arkansas. It was believed he had an offer $200,000, $250,000, and then Georgia blew that out of the water 2 to 3 times as much. That's what Arkansas has to deal with now because people have more money that they can bring in from the revenue sharing side of things. LSU's getting more money from their government. So if it's just NIL, Dave Van Horn is still here and he's still recruiting. So you have to believe he got some help. How much, we don't know. They don't let those numbers go. We can go behind the scenes and start digging and talk to our sources and everything. It was believed that, you know, a starting infielder this year was making about $350,000 to $400,000. That's about the highest that I've heard of a player making in Arkansas. Yeah. So AJ Evasco, top 10 outfielder from Kansas State, Nolan Traeger, catcher from TCU. Those are guys that would move the needle for Arkansas a little bit. I think Arkansas has dropped off in terms of how much total they're able to pay people. Mm-hmm. And that means that Arkansas is not recruiting the way they used to. They've had back-to-back high school classes that are smaller and not as talented. They've had back-to-back that are in the teens rather than top five. Mm-hmm. So when we say that Arkansas is not the school it once was 2 years ago, yes, things have changed since then, but it's on the money side of things. Scouts, agents, they've all said that. And we'll see it in the proof is in the pudding and the outcome of what the roster looks like.
Yeah, we'll see it when it and hopefully they had figured out. But that's where they have to figure it out. It's surprising to me that Mississippi State allocates that much money to baseball. Like I can understand Texas doing that, allocating a large chunk of their revenue sharing because they get so much money in NIL for football. Arkansas, on the other hand, as we've reported, is about $14.5 million of that. What is it, $20.5 million
for
revenue sharing? About $14.5 million is allocated to football because football doesn't necessarily bring in, you know, the NIL that a place like Texas has. You know, basketball, there are some schools that might allocate more of their NIL, or excuse me, their revenue sharing to basketball, but Arkansas brings in a lot of NIL.
Yeah.
For those who don't understand what we're talking about, the difference in revenue sharing is money from the University of Arkansas. It's different than NIL. NIL is money that you're able to bring in, basically pay for play, but they call it NIL. So two different categories of NIL. Technically, revenue sharing is NIL, but it's from the U of A directly. So,
yeah.
So, go ahead.
Putting those into buckets is what we really have to figure out and talk about total money, because scholarships go into that as well, Trey. You can offer up to 34 full scholarships, and Arkansas wants to get to that point, obviously.
So, summer leagues, who's playing where?
Yeah, that's one of the things that we were talking about the other day. Mark Brissy, there's quite a few guys that are at the Cape this summer, and that's the premier summer league. Mark Brissy had his scrimmage the other night for the Wareham Gateman. Him and Peyton Lee are pitching for the Gateman this summer. And Brissy's first hit batter he faced, he broke a bat. And that's what him and his dad and myself were joking about the other day was, I bet Mark breaks a lot of bats because he likes to throw into righties and he has that sinking, that tailing fastball. So the first batter he faced, he broke a bat. He had a couple strikeouts, walked a guy, and it was on a 3-2 count. Faced four batters. Jackson Kircher's pitching for the Bourne Braves. He had a three-inning outing last night, only allowed one hit, two walks, and four punchouts. It's very important that Kircher gets his confidence back this year. I think a lot of the problem with Kircher this season was he was looking over his shoulder every time. He had one eye in the dugout. He was afraid to mess up. And I know fans and people were out there being like, you can't pitch like that. Well, when coaches have a quick trigger and they don't want a guy out there walking too many, if you walk one guy, you feel like you're going to come out, that affects your confidence. So Christian Turner, Carter Rutenbar, they're out in Santa Barbara playing for the Foresters in the California Collegiate League. Colin Fisher is going to get drafted. He's going to go in the draft, but he is also pitching in the Cape right now. Jordan Martin is up there pitching for Falmouth, I believe, the Commodores. So good split between the California Collegiate League. Carson Willis is in the Northwoods League. And then the majority of the top higher-end prospects are at the Cape this summer.
All right, Cabo. Appreciate you joining us on the Ozarks Go Hotline. If you're looking for fast, reliable, consistent internet service, reach out to 479-684-4900. Or go to ozarksgo.net/hog, where it is a local company. And if you call the number, you'll talk to a local person. They won't jack your rates up year one to year two. Fast, reliable, steady, consistent internet service, just like Kevin Bohannon with his baseball coverage. Appreciate you, bud.
All right, buddy. Thanks, Trey.
All right, everybody. That's Kevin Bohannon. Again, follow him at Cabo Baseball Guru on X. Blakeman's Fine Jewelry is proud to be the official jeweler of the Arkansas Razorbacks. Ben Blakeman and his team had an exciting year in their flagship space at 3202 Pinnacle Hills Parkway in Rogers and are continuing their signature hospitality and service in 2026. Visit them. They'll offer to clean your jewelry, offer you a coffee, beverage from Cafe B, or a glass of their own Blakeman's Prosecco, which, by the way, is offered at various stores in Northwest Arkansas. If you can't make it, did you know you could also shop them online at blakemansfinejewelry.com? Built on tradition since 1987, Blakeman's has been Northwest Arkansas's trusted destination for exceptional jewelry and personalized service. Again, 3202 Pinnacle Hills Parkway in Rogers. All right, let's go to Connor Goodson for the latest Razorback basketball coverage. Connor, how's it going?
Cannot complain too much, Trey. How about yourself?
I'm doing good. Sorry about your Spurs.
Yeah, it's a... Not necessarily still in mourning, but, I'm in the reflection period of grief, I guess, where I'm looking at the positives, man. They weren't even supposed to be here. They weren't projected to be here. They overachieved. They're still young, all that good stuff. So plenty more contending seasons to come, hopefully.
Well, I think you've got championships in your future. I mean, as long as Wemby stays healthy. Everybody always says, as long as Wemby stays healthy. Have you seen all the stuff, like people talking about Jalen Brunson, like back when he was drafted and like the investment the Knicks were making in him and what a huge mistake. And like this guy's, I'm not even sure he's a top 10 in his position and you know, all this stuff. And if he is, he's number 10. Like, interesting.
That was some Steph Curry like magic, him making shots when he needed to. It reminded me of Steph Curry when he was kind of going bananas and, 2015, 2016, but what a special team that was. They were a buzzsaw. They were the better team, clearly. So no complaints losing to them, I guess. Hopefully more championships in the Spurs' future for sure.
More unfortunate news, this with Arkansas, Isaiah Seely to undergo knee surgery. Calipari didn't say what the injury was, but I don't think he would have tweeted that out if it was a meniscus or something that was going to take 6 weeks.
Yeah.
It sounds like this is something that's going to cost him the season, possibly an ACL. Didn't say that specifically, but I don't know why Calipari would go to social media and announce that unless it was something pretty serious.
Yeah, no, that's definitely what we had heard leading up to it. I had actually gotten wind of that a little bit before, but was told to hold off sharing any of that, and that there could be an announcement coming soon. And so that happened all really, really quick. And it, from the sounds of it, talking to people, it looks like he's going to be out the entire season. So it would lead you to believe that it's probably like an ACL type deal. They do not expect him to be back in time for this season right now. And so I think that that's why Calipari wanted to get ahead of it to, you know, he didn't come outright and say that that's the timetable or give a set time or anything like that. Obviously didn't give details on it being an ACL, but it sounds like that's what it could be. So a tough blow for Isaiah. I was really looking forward to seeing what he could do, but definitely wish him well and a speedy recovery for sure.
All right, so let's fast forward real quick here. Possibly an answer to Arkansas's big man questions. Caleb, how do you say it? Origu?
Origau or Origu.
Origau?
Origau or Origu. I haven't gotten confirmation on that. I've heard two people say it those ways, so yeah.
6'10", 215-pound center in the class of 2027, who is a possible reclassify candidate. We keep hearing this a lot popping up. He's the number 69 overall prospect in the country according to 24/7 Sports composite ranking, the number 10 center. He plays at Overtime Elite in Atlanta. I'm not sure where he's from originally, but Overtime Elite is basically, you know, one of those like teams within a school that, it's basically a basketball school to develop you as a basketball player. You play like against other teams in that school, basically. I think that's how they set it up.
It's like a little league. It's almost like a little prep league within itself. That's where Malik Thomas came from. And Carter Knox was also an Overtime Elite product. But so Origau, you know, he's obviously a reclass. We've heard that with obviously Davion Thompson, who committed last week, the guard. And it looks like Arkansas's, you know, kicked the tires on that. A couple weeks ago, I was told that he's definitely still considering it at least. And he's definitely an option for the Razorbacks to go. And, you know, watching his tape, there's definitely a ton of upside. And you look at his kind of stock lately with what he's been doing on the EYBL circuit. He's been one of the biggest stock risers in his class, and he's turning heads. He's getting all these, you know, offers left and right. It seems like every day there's a new offer from a high major program. So he's a guy that I think if you're looking at him on the roster, maybe you're not looking at him to come in immediately and give you 30, 35 minutes and be that anchor. But he's a guy that I think back to last year with Seton Hall's Najee Hines, who is now at UConn. He was a guy that Arkansas kind of had on their board a little bit earlier in the offseason. But a guy that you look at who was a very late addition. I believe he committed July 22nd to Seton Hall, and he was a reclass as well. He comes in and he kind of really gets into his own very early. He pops pretty early and becomes a really reliable presence in that front court for Seton Hall. And then he's able to parlay that into a big offseason where he had plenty of suitors and was getting paid a lot of money. And you kind of hope that with a guy like Origau, he comes in and he's that anchored. He's able to pop just like Hines did. And looking at the film, there's a lot of that with him. He's still very raw, especially offensively. He's not really going to be a back-to-the-basket guy. He's kind of that traditional rim runner, but he's got really, really good hands. His anticipation and his instincts are really, really good for a big man. So even if he doesn't reclass and you're still trying to get him in 2027, that would be a really big get for Arkansas, either class. If you're waiting until next year, or if you're getting him for this year, it'd be a big get for the Hogs for sure.
They haven't really brought in high school centers, but yeah, can't you just see Cal? Like, I told my staff, everybody's going older.
Yeah.
Get this. We're going to go younger. We're going to go after juniors and reclassify him.
And then get this, in 2012, how many freshmen did I start? I started five freshmen. I can hear that already. But
go ahead.
No, he's definitely kind of gone the other way from how he's done it in the past, or from the last couple of years, where it was a really balanced mix of you got veterans, you've got your high level freshmen, and now he's just like, I'm going back to my bread and butter. I'm going young, man. So
going young. Shai Hall, though, is a junior college target. What's the latest with him?
Yeah, so it's really intriguing. We heard about Shai Hall last week. He was on a visit earlier in the week. He visited a couple other schools. Most recently was at NC State, 6'11".
For those who don't know, I should say real quick, 6'11", center out of Northwest Mississippi Community College. Go ahead.
Yeah, and he was committed to UAB earlier in this process. We got his release from UAB, reopened his recruitment. And, so Arkansas was really, really intrigued. It looked like there was a lot of momentum post-visit for that. I'm told that maybe there's some hurdles that have maybe come up in the last couple of days or so, and Arkansas may not be as involved there as we expected, which lines up with the smoke that kind of came not out of left field, because we'd heard this name thrown around a little bit, but Ilya Frolov, the Russian center. This morning, there was a couple of international accounts that randomly popped up saying that he was looking at potentially coming over here, and Arkansas was involved. He was looking at maybe joining Arkansas and all this other stuff that was kind of weird, and you know, some accounts that you don't normally see breaking stuff like this. So you kind of do second, you know, your follow-ups and stuff. And so I literally had a phone call as I was hopping on here, and I was able to confirm that Arkansas is targeting Ilya Frolov right now as that kind of, you know, end of the roster addition, that final piece to the roster. It looks like that they're targeting him, but I will, the caveat, we've heard this. It seems like every offseason Cal's been here, there's been an international prospect that Arkansas has been really tied to, and something comes up to where they don't even make it over here, whether it's a visa issue, whether it's they decide to, you know, stay in the pro route or anything like this. There's still some paperwork that needs to be done with Frolov, and it's not even guaranteed that he's going to be able to come overseas and play in college. So until those I's are dotted and those T's are crossed, it's not completely over. So I just want to throw that caveat out there, but it does sound like the Calipari maybe has kind of been going back and forth with Hall and Frolov, which one, and it looks like maybe he's leaning towards Frolov over Hall right now.
Last bit of news, this is a few days ago, but Marcus Edwards named new strength coach for the basketball team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he comes over from Oklahoma State. I believe he did two stints at Missouri prior to this. He graduated from Missouri, a Missouri alum. He spent time at Vanderbilt as well. He's a guy that his connection is to Brad Calipari. He was over at Vanderbilt when Brad Calipari was an assistant under Jerry Stackhouse. So that there's an obvious connection there. You know, people I've talked to are really, really high on him. The people in the building that I've talked to that have been around him so far spoke really, really highly of him. They love his energy. He's a little bit younger, so he kind of brings a more of a different approach than what they've had in the past, maybe a different energy. But he replaces Dave Richardson, who is headed to Ohio State. Who's a long time, I believe he was here. He was hired under Mike Anderson, maybe back in 2018, 2017, around then. Long time strength and conditioning guy for Arkansas, but he's headed elsewhere. And sounds like Arkansas got a good young and up and coming strength coach to kind of lead that program for now.
All right. Good stuff, Connor. Appreciate you joining us on the Ozarks Go Hotline.
Appreciate you.
All right, everybody. That's Connor Goodson. Follow him at Connor Goodson on X. Read his content at Hog Sports, where, again, we are 60% off. Right now, limited time. Bet Saracen, you can sign up at Bet Saracen and use the promo code BIDDY250, capital B, lowercase IDDY 250. Sign up, put $25 down on your first bet, and you will get $250 back in bonus bucks to use on Bet Saracen. Pretty sweet deal. You got to use that promo code. There's also a link below that you can use with a link that'll take you where you need to be. But there's a ton of World Cup stuff. Guys, if you haven't been following like all these Europeans and people coming over from different countries, South America and stuff, and experiencing parts of the United States that they don't really hear about a lot, like Louisiana or Alabama and, you know, all these different places, Florida, not New York and LA and stuff. It has been quite comical, like people going to Bucky's and Waffle House and just their reactions to ranch dip, just stuff like that, hot dogs and stuff like that. It's been pretty entertaining. You also got baseball postseason stuff going on. You got the U.S. Open coming up. So a lot of things to put a wager on. Beth Saracen is the local people, the only local people now.
Arkansas's Fab Five for Beth Saracen.
Yo, Sid, what spread you checking out, man?
I'm checking out the Hogs on Beth Saracen.
You know, Rainwater's exclusive specials and tons of Beth Saracen options make it Arkansas's favorite sports betting app.
And they take more action on the Hogs than any other sports book in the world.
Guys, I am confident it's because we do their TV ads.
I agree with that.
Amen.
Beth Saracen.
All right, we're going to pop over to some questions now on the Razor's Edge Premium Forum, where you can join and interact with us, interact with other like-minded Razorback fans and some that don't have your same like minds that you can argue with over at the Razor's Edge if you sign up for the 60% off deal. So MDW asked me to expound on my post that I made on Friday about the baseball program not having funds to be the program that it has been. Now, that's I got to say also, like, they don't have the revenue share. They have to get their money through NIL. Now they're going to have NIL, obviously. I mean, they're not just going to not have NIL. They had it before all the revenue sharing stuff came. But the question just becomes, like, where are they at? Where are they at compared to their peers? Because that's a lot of money to make up. You talk about a program getting $2.5 million just kind of given to them, you know, versus Arkansas at $750,000 and needing to make up that just alone. So, plus there's just such a huge push right now to get football back. And I think there's a lot of money that's just kind of steered towards getting football, you know, financially where it needs to be. So that's possible that impacts baseball. But we're going to find out exactly where Arkansas is from an NIL standpoint based on the players that they're able to attract here. There's still time in the transfer portal. It is concerning, I think, though, but that's where things are. And there's been a big push towards football. So a lot of that NIL money that maybe baseball thought they were going to get revenue sharing has shifted over there. Hogballs 69 says over under on winning more than 3 games this year. Is Silverfield the new Chad Morris? Come on. We're not going to start that. It's always interesting how you want to compare somebody to the worst possible candidate. Like, Chad Morris is the worst coach in SEC history. And so Ryan Silverfield's the next Chad Morris, you know, Chad Morris 2.0. And, you know, Ron Roberts is John Chavis 2.0, you know, just the worst scenario that you can imagine. Over under, though, of winning 3, I'm going to take the over on that. I am not bullish on it, but I will take the over if it's 3 games. If you tell me it's 5, if you tell me it was 6 is the over under, I would take the under. So I think somewhere between 3 and 5 games right now. And I've kind of laid out what that looks like for me, like what I would like to see. And so much of that depends on that Utah game. It's a very important game. Like, if you can win the Utah game, you can beat Northern Alabama. You can beat Tulsa. You know, you can start off 3-1. Georgia's in there. You got to play Georgia. But you could start off 3-1. And with a little momentum, you go to Texas A&M. You know, maybe just play well. Don't get your teeth kicked in. It's interesting, and I've broken down how rebuilds have gone in the past with different coaches and stuff. But to me, like, success this season would be you know, maybe getting to 5 wins and not getting your teeth kicked in and showing a lot of promise for the future. And I mentioned Bobby Petrino's 2008 season. They throw a bunch of young players into the fire and stuff, let them get smoked a little bit. Joe Adams famously saying when they played Texas, coach, it was like they were mad at us. And then those guys kind of became the backbone for those teams that won 10 games, won 11 games in 2010 and 2011. So, and won 8 games the next year. So in 2009, I should say. But like that to me, like, and maybe get like a kind of a signature win there at the end, maybe like beating an LSU in Fayetteville after Thanksgiving, you know, something like that to build your momentum into the off season. that to me, like, showing that you're headed in the right direction. I don't necessarily have to see a ton of wins. And if they don't have a quarterback, then they're not going to have a ton of wins. But if they have a quarterback, like if KJ Jackson turns out to be a really good player, and I think he will be the quarterback, if he turns out to be a good quarterback, then they can have a good team. I really think that they have got a good enough roster to compete. If you have a quarterback, you got to have some playmakers. The best teams at Arkansas, you know, we can talk about the evaluations, you know, that maybe Nutt did, but he always had like studs like Matt Jones and Darren McFadden. I mean, those guys were just better than people they were lining up against in the SEC. It always bugged me when people would say stuff like, Houston had Matt Jones. Like, what would he have been without Matt? Well, what would any coach have been without their best players? Like, Arkansas's talent was way above some of the teams that they were playing. Joshua 11 says, Trey, does soccer have the best crowd pops and environment in all of sports? Maybe some CFB environments. The best crowd pops? I'm not sure what you mean. I have been to, let's see, I went and saw Bayern München in Allianz Arena in Munich. And I can't remember the team they played. That's like a 75,000 seat venue. It's a nice venue. I think that's the only soccer match I've ever been to. Football, whatever you want to call it. I think that's the only one I've ever been to. Pittsburgh Squealer says, Monte Harrison going to be a contributor this year? Possibly. He was not healthy in the spring, so we didn't really get a good look at him. So it's possible. You know, he helped some last time. Who would win in a fight, 100 angry Canada geese or 5 bald eagles? 100 angry geese would win in a fight. This is from Willie B. Hardigan. Oh, that name. So I hit a Canadian geese one time, and it just flew across my car. And I mean, the amount of poop, I could not believe how much poop was all over my car after I hit that thing. But they are so, I don't know, they're big. I'm going to go with the 100 geese over the bald eagle. All right, let's see if we got any comments over here. Sealy gets injured the same day Washington County. What? I don't know anything about that. Let's go. Steven Shoup says, how do you feel about the football team? Do you see anything better player? Do you see anything better player? Not sure what you're meaning there, Steven. But how I feel about the football team, I've said this before, but I will say it again. I think they did a really good job bringing in guys on the defensive. And maybe all these guys on the defensive line don't pan out. That's probably likely. I just think that they did a good job bringing in numbers on the defensive line. And they really lacked there last year. And it cost them. It cost them late in games when they just couldn't stop teams. So I think they did a good job bringing in, you know, defensive – and not just defensive linemen, but like defensive linemen who are going to have another year or another couple years or 3 years of eligibility left. You know, Osborne's just a junior. Sims and Carlin Jones are just redshirt sophomores. Trajan Odom's a redshirt freshman. And then they kept all the guys from a pretty good defensive line haul last year in the 2025 class from the previous staff, like Caleb Bell and Keandre Johnson and Trent Sellers, some of those guys. Reginald Vaughn is another one. I think Kevin Otis is the only guy on that group that didn't stay with the team. So I think they did a really good job there. I'm interested to see what linebacker looks like, safety. I think linebacker will be – I think they've got some pretty decent depth. But here's the thing. Like, when I say stuff like this, it's important to note that everybody has depth now. There's nobody that's like, well, we're going to play a redshirt freshman or a true freshman in this spot. And I brought up like comparisons to I'll compare teams a lot to the 2015 team. That team easily could have been a 10-win team. But the number of NFL players on that roster, so I like to make comparisons like that. Like, there may not be as many NFL guys on this roster, but the 2015 team also had to rely on freshmen redshirt freshmen. Like, there was holes. Yes, a lot of good players, but there were also positions where they just had huge holes. And nowadays, you can build a veteran team overnight. You really can. And they have depth on defensive line. I think that they have depth at linebacker. I mean, they've got, you know, in addition to Bradley Shaw and Jaquavion Sims, Smith, and Wyatt Simmons, you know, they brought in Ben Bogle and, you know, Jeremy Evans, Phoenix Jackson, guys that have a lot of experience, you know, older guys that have a good bit of experience. I worry a little bit about safety. I do like Christian Harrison a lot. They've also got Kamori House, if you want to count him as a linebacker or, you know, whatever you want to count him as. But he's a guy that they think has NFL ability. Carter Stoutmeyer started for Colorado last year, and he'll back up Kamori House at that spot. And the cornerback, you know, Lakai Rowland, Joker Johnson, Shelton Lewis, you know, those are probably Brandon Lee. Those are probably your top four cornerbacks right now. Guys that have played football, played a lot of football. Again, other teams in the SEC have that. It comes down to, and I bring up what Geiska Crowley said recently about that, in that, you know, you got to have a defensive line. You got to have an offensive line. You got to have plus play at the quarterback, and you got to have an elite wide receiver. So is Chris Marshall an elite wide receiver? Does Antonio Jordan emerge into that role? I thought Courtney Crutchfield had a really good spring. You know, he's 20 pounds lighter than he was a year ago. I think he'll help him. You know, C.J. Brown was the second fastest player on the team in terms of mile per hour speed last year. Ismail Cece was possibly going to start for them last year. At least he came out of the spring as a starter before he had that wrist injury in the weight room, missed the whole season, and he's back. The offensive line, can they be comparable to last year? I mean, like, last year's offensive line was, relative to recent years, that was a pretty good offensive line. You know, they had a 1,000-yard rusher behind them, you know, protected Talon pretty well. I think some of Talon's, you know, issues were, you know, kind of maybe holding the ball too long or not being aware of somebody coming after him behind, you know, stuff like that, or fumbling, stuff like that. But offense was pretty good last year in terms of putting up points and putting up yardage. And a lot of that was because of the offensive line. Caden Kittler was a huge upgrade at center. You have Kobe Branham coming back. Malachi Breland is a 2-year starter at Memphis. Bryant Williams was the number 9 or 10 transfer portal offensive tackle available. Very highly coveted guy. And then, you know, the only guy that you're kind of looking at and saying, hey, you know, who hasn't played a lot of football so far and, you know, you're asking to step into a starting role is Kavion Broussard. You know? So, and, you know, I think they've got some decent depth. Josiah Clemens, Adam Hawks, Cash Courtney. You know? I mean, so no holes there. Am I saying it's like going to be this elite offensive line? No, but I'm also saying, like, there doesn't seem like there's a lot of holes on the offensive line. You know, running back, Braylon Russell looks physically as good as he's looked since he's been here. I can remember when he was 250-something when he came in as a freshman. He's a svelte 235 or so, 230 probably. You know, can you stay healthy? The adjustment with, you know, Silverfield going into the SEC, is he ready for this? Is he ready for this as a head coach without that experience coaching? You know, he's coaching the NFL and stuff, but he hasn't been a head coach on the major, major college level. You know, the Power Four type of level. But Ron Roberts has, you know, and there's other coaches on the staff that have. To me, so much of it comes down to quarterback and, you know, getting a little luck, penalties, turnover, special teams, getting a little lucky. It's a long answer. You ever had that long an answer to one of your questions? Steven? Michael Cox says, can't wait for the day. Rattle off all those awards when speaking about football program, national championships and stuff. Yeah, that'd be nice. Let's get to bowl eligibility. Goodness. Mike Charles says 41st national. That's acceptable. Come on, we should be better, in my opinion. I remember saying we should expect the best class ever for the U of A. My opinion on this is Arkansas doesn't have $40 million in NIL and rev share. They're probably more like 25. Maybe next year they'll get up a little bit more. I think they'll need to, because I think that number just keeps growing. But to me, you invest in certain positions in high school that could come in and help you early. It does seem like there's a big investment into the secondary, for example. See if we've got any new news coming up. Okay, I thought I had some new news. But to me, like, you know, I talked about cornerback as a position where you can see guys play early. Wide receiver, generally see guys can play early there. Running back, like, those are the types of positions that you could invest in, four-star types. But to me, it doesn't make a lot of sense to invest in, like, these super highly ranked freshman offensive linemen that are, you know, in a lot of cases going to sit the bench for a year or two. You know, I think that you spend the bulk of your money on guys that are going to help you, guys that are going to play early. And that's, you can get sophomores out of the transfer portal who are going to be in your program for a number of years, who can help you right away versus getting high school recruits. I think when you recruit high school players, you look at guys and you're like, this guy may be a little developmental. He needs some time in the weight room. Maybe he's at a small school and hadn't, you know, received maybe the coaching that he needs. You know, not that small school coaches are bad or anything. I don't mean that. But sometimes resources aren't there. They're not the same. The competition level is not the same in terms of guys they're lining up against every day in practice and in games. So to me, like, there are players like that that you recruit, bring into your program, and you can develop, but you've got to spend the bulk of your money if you're Arkansas in the transfer portal. Because as we've seen in high school recruiting, players tend to go within that 250-mile radius. And if there's a great school nearby that's offered them, they tend to go to that one. You know, even still with NIL and all that stuff, they tend to go local. But in the transfer portal, when players are looking for their second or even third school, they will go just about anywhere. And we've seen Arkansas get a few guys out of California, a guy out of North Carolina, and all kinds of places in between there. Like, you can recruit nationally if you're Arkansas. You can get guys that, okay, this guy is ready to go, or we've seen him. A lot of the guys at Arkansas – now, Arkansas, you know, they got Kamori House, who was at North Carolina. He was at a major school. Christian Harrison was at a Power Four school. You know, they got guys like that who are starters at Power Four schools sprinkled in. But they also got a lot of guys that were, you know, stars on the G5 level, like Joker Johnson or Bryant Williams, guys that had, you know, that are moving up. And Arkansas has had a lot of success with guys like that, moving those guys up a level who really were standouts at their previous school. But they also went and got a lot of guys on the Power Four level who were very highly recruited, but weren't quite at that age that they were going to contribute at a USC or Ohio State or Oregon. You know, guys playing behind guys that were very highly recruited above them, you know, who were a little bit older. That to me is a smart investment that you can make at Arkansas. I'm not worried as much on the recruiting class. Yeah, I want to see them get, you know, stud running back. I love getting a stud running back, four-star, five-star, whatever. Those guys can come in and play. You know, they're going to turn over quickly and give you results. But I'm not so sure that, like, you need to go get, you know, high school defensive tackles that are, you know, four stars. Z-Chance 3Z says, what is it about Arkansas football that is missing compared to the other programs? We have money, decent coaches now. What will it take to get us turned around being a powerhouse again? It's been a while since Arkansas has been a powerhouse. And that was when they were in the Southwest Conference, when they were competing with, you know, schools that they could outperform, basically. Weren't playing teams that were week in, week out ranked in the top 25 nationally or top 10. Certainly not the same rate that that they were in the Southwest Conference. But what is missing about Arkansas is what it's always been missing about Arkansas, and it is access to elite talent. Arkansas is a relatively small state. It is a poor producer of talent per capita compared to a place like Mississippi, which is a similar size state that produces probably three times or four times as many elite level college football players. So that has been what's always plagued Arkansas. They don't have, you know, like you think about Auburn. Let's look at what Auburn is near. Columbus, Atlanta. Okay, so, you know, you're talking about 150,000, you know, plus. Montgomery, Alabama, Columbus, Georgia, Atlanta, Tallahassee. I mean, guys, there's Macon. Macon's a big city. Good size city, not a big city, but a good size city. So, I mean, there's just a ton of good size Mobile. There's a good ton of good size cities, you know, in that radius for them. You look at Arkansas, what is near Fayetteville? Springfield, Tulsa, Little Rock. I mean, there's just not. Oklahoma City, it's 3 hours away. There's just not a Kansas City's, what, five? Just not a lot of talent nearby. That's what's always plagued Arkansas. It's not, there's, you know, all kinds of people are like, you know, people don't wear shoes in Arkansas or something. Like, every state in the South has that same stigma that people don't wear shoes or that you're country bumpkins or whatever. It's all similar but the same, no matter where I go, in terms of nice areas, crappy areas, rich areas, poor areas. It's all, every state has it in this, that SEC footprint. The problem with Arkansas is access to elite talent. I mean, look at what Georgia's, I mean, Georgia, the state of Georgia produces more talent for SEC schools than any other state. And you're near, you know, Atlanta, you know, I mean, you can draw from Charlotte, you can draw from, you know, South Carolina, you can draw from Florida, Tallahassee, Jacksonville, and Jacksonville's another one, yeah. Birmingham, I mean, there's just Louisiana. I mean, Louisiana produces per capita more NFL players than any state in the country. You're pulling, like, you're LSU, you're pulling from, obviously, Baton Rouge, but New Orleans, Lafayette, you're not far from Houston. I mean, just there's just access, easy access to talent. Jackson's not far. Mobile's not far. Yeah, that's the problem. Z Chance 3Z also says, or was it 2010, 2011 years is something we were lucky to witness as a fan base? Well, there were certain things. First of all, Bobby Petrino, for that time period, he was at his peak as an offensive coordinator. And as a coach, you know, he was just at that peak age, around 50 years old, which, so he had that going for him. This was the school that he was going to make his mark at, and he did, just ended short. He had a five-star quarterback, NFL quarterback, in Ryan Mallett, you know, a guy that got drafted in the NFL, and Tyler Wilson. Also had Brandon Allen on that team that he recruited, but he was a great evaluator of quarterbacks and had elite quarterbacks. He had, they did a great job recruiting and evaluating, but they also had, you know, guys inside the state. You know, DJ Williams was an NFL tight end out of Little Rock, and Joe Adams, NFL wide receiver out of Arkansas. CAC, was he CAC? Jarius Wright out of Warren, NFL wide receiver out of Arkansas. Chris Gregg out of Warren, NFL tight end out of Arkansas. Greg Childs, NFL wide receiver out of Arkansas. You know, so on and so forth. Plus, they did a great evaluation, went and got Nile Davis out of Texas. Were able to lure Ronnie Wingo from St. Louis. You know, Ronnie Wingo wasn't a 1,000-yard back, but he was a good player, made the NFL. So, yeah, they just – it just hit. Like, you bring in an offensive coach like Petrino, and there's Ryan Mallett, who's desperate to get back to Arkansas, hates Michigan, always wanted to go to Arkansas. So you just – you kind of had the perfect storm. Like, if Petrino had come in and all those guys had been defensive players, like Ryan Mallett had been a defensive end, and Jarius Wright and Joe Adams had been defensive backs because they didn't have great hands and stuff, it wasn't going to work out the same way. It just – it was a perfect storm for Arkansas to have success like that. And that can, that stuff can happen, but you have to have star, you have to have guys that are better than the players they're lining up against. And Arkansas's best teams have had that. Elmer Fudpucker says, it's fine if you aren't spending all your money on high school players, but they've been getting mostly three-star types from the portal as well. It's the third or fifth highest ranked players and the rest of their average. I don't necessarily agree with transfer portal rankings, Elmer. And the reason I'll say that is what we have done in our portal rankings is base everything on college production, largely. Largely based on college production. So a guy like Jasper Parker, who was a four-star running back recruit in 2025, in 2026 as a portal player, since he redshirted, is a three-star because he hadn't really done anything in college. You know, Zadavian Sims, who was a top 100 prospect nationally in high school a couple years ago, you know, is at Oregon playing defensive line where you have to develop physically. You're playing behind guys that are very highly recruited, who are older than you, and you haven't really done anything yet. And so when you transfer, hit the transfer portal, you're a three-star because it's based on your college production. And Arkansas went and got a lot of guys like that. You know, they got other guys like Kamori House, who was productive on the Power 5 level, so he's a four-star transfer. Bryant Williams, who was very highly coveted offensive tackle, four-star transfer portal. Joker Johnson, very highly productive at Tulane, four-star transfer. You see what I'm saying? Like, a lot of those guys like Carlin Jones, Zadavian Sims, Trajan Odom are younger defensive linemen who haven't really done anything yet. Now, sure, that's a risk because they haven't done anything yet. But what I see is the physical size and ability that you need to play that position. That's when I look at Arkansas's defensive line, I'm just like, man, they got a lot of guys that sure do look like you're supposed to look in this conference. So I think that's one reason. And, you know, you also look at the guys that transferred out. Like, let's look at that. Let's look at who transferred out at Arkansas. I'm going to wrap up the show here after this, though, okay? I'm going a little bit longer than I wanted to. Transfer portal. So let's look at the top guy. The top guy that they lost, in my opinion, are probably Ian Gerfrard, which they covered well there. They got defensive line. Imarian Harris, where they got Bryant Williams to replace that. Scott Starzik, the kicker. And I think Scott Starzik, you know, I don't know what Gilbert has. You know, he started for Tennessee, but I don't know if he's as good as Starzik. But, like, who did they lose that, like, you're just freaking out about? Like, Kevin Otis, defensive tackle who has some ability, you know. We talked about him a minute ago. He ended up at Kansas. Starzik ended up at LSU. Who did they lose out of the transfer portal that you're just like, oh, my gosh, how are they going to make up for this guy? I mentioned Amarian Harris. Blake Cherry was a young offensive lineman who had promise, I thought. L.J. Prudhomme ended up at Mississippi State. Also, I thought he had some promise. Justice Boone did end up at Wisconsin. But, you know, I wasn't just, like, blown away with Justice Boone as a player. I mean, he's a good player. But we talked about Ian Gerfrard. Tavian Wallace was a promising younger linebacker. Shaq McCroy, promising younger offensive lineman. And then look at, you know, Trajan Odom, Zadavian Sims, Carter Stoutmeyer, Braden Lee, Chris Marshall, Terrence Robertson, who's moved to offensive guard, by the way. Max Gilbert, I mentioned the kicker. Jasper Parker, Hunter Osborne, Ty Lockwood, Lakai Rowland, Jamari Hawkins, Jaheim Johnson, Adam Hawks, Josiah Clemens. I just feel like I could go Malachi Breland, Sutton Smith, A.J. Hill, Jamonte Waller, Tyler Scott, Steven Soles, Christian Harrison. I mean, like a lot of the – Carlin Jones, Phoenix Jackson, Kamori House, Jelani Watkins. So, I feel like they upgraded their team overall. I really do. Just if you don't have a quarterback, then it's not going to matter. You know, you've got to have a guy there. You just do. The good teams have good quarterbacks. It's a bottom line. There's not anybody who is a good team that has a bad quarterback. And we just don't know if Arkansas has a good one or a bad one. Hopefully they do. All right, everybody. And even if they you know, you could have a guy that just needs more experience, a quarterback like, you know, a guy that's, you know, maybe needs to go through some growing pains for a year before he takes his game to the next level. You know, just because, you know, if KJ Jackson just has kind of an average or subpar year, you know, you can build on that. We just want to see that heading in the right direction. All right, everybody. Appreciate Kevin Bohannon and Connor Goodson for hopping on. Appreciate all of you guys for your comments, your likes. Give us a thumbs up if you haven't done so already. Subscribe to our podcast. Sign up at Hog Sports. Again, that ends at 11 o'clock tonight. The 60% off offer breaks down to $1 a week. So sign up at Hog Sports, HAWGSports.com. All right, everybody. This has been Trey Biddy with HogSports.com. Hold your ears. Oh,